even though my position may be one of ignorance and stupidity, I don't know that until I can learn it, you know, and I need friends to let me see it.
That's the award-winning, sensitive, vulnerable actor Ethan Hawke, who put his sensitivity to work as part of our mission to have some open and frank conversations about race in America. Conversations you can hear and that we believe mirror what we think is going on at kitchen tables and public places all over the country. It's all part of the racial transformation taking place in America right now. Last week, we introduced you to Rebecca Carroll, editor for special projects at WNYC, who's hosting the first set of conversations in this series. In her first interview with Ethan Hawke, Rebecca and Ethan spoke before a live audience.
Never in my conscious adult life has race been more a part of the conversation than it has been in the last 5 years. Do you know? And I often find myself thinking about, why is that? I mean, let me say, for example, like, I was at the Oscars sitting next to Denzel Washington when he won the Oscar, right? And Halle Berry also won that year. And there was a great feeling. Sidney Poitier was being honored there that night. And Denzel got up and said, you know, I'm following you my whole life. And it was very kind of beautiful. And it really felt like, to me, in the room, that isn't it great that all that stuff is behind us? It had this feeling.
Wow.
To, you know, and maybe I'm like, you know, crazy, you know, optimist kind of person, but I was like, oh, this is, I'm so glad to be alive in the era where we're like putting this behind us, you know? And then to have last year, the whole thing about the Oscars being so white and really people coming to task with it. And what I'm trying to say is there is no way to avoid talking about it with your kids because it's very, very much a part of what is happening. There's something happening.
When these things are in the news, these shootings, this viral video footage of police killing black bodies, how do you have that conversation with your children, with your peers? Do you or do you not have it, like on a daily basis?
Well, my mother's in town, and we were talking about race with my 18-year-old last night because, for very complicated reasons, actually, because things that, to respect my daughter's privacy, I don't want to talk about, but having to do with just being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference of growing up a white woman versus growing up a black woman, and they're sharing dressing rooms and they're intimate at school, and there's just experiences are different. And so it's, the shootings are so dramatic. I mean, see, the thing about the shootings to my mind, and I don't know if I'm, you know, what I can say and I'll get in trouble for whatever. I think the difference there, what's happening there is telephones, our iPhones and technology. Things like that have been going on forever, right? But now we can look at it and then the white community goes, oh my God, that's terrible. And the black community gets to say, and then we have this like thing that's hurting that we can see. So in a way, how do I talk about that violence with my kids? It's very difficult to talk about. I find it funny because kids get taught a lot of things, and how you use language is so important. And by even trying to explain to them why you shouldn't be racist starts an idea in their head that they didn't have before, like, well, these bad cops did, you know.
Right, but shouldn't they have that in their mind? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, of my own kid, like, you know, it's not an option. Like, I have to talk to him about race and racism and what's going on with the police and the violence and how he should behave and so on and so forth. And so on.
But don't you think more than anything about what you say is your life is your message, right? How you comport yourself, who your friends are, how you behave, who you listen to, who you read, who you take seriously. If they see you, you know, if my kids see me reading Toni Morrison, do you know? That has an impact on them, you know? And yes, I can say things, but I have to tell you that I don't feel an expert on how to teach children, you know?
None of us are.
So I'm nervous about it. I can share with them my experience. Like you talk about, I mean, we have a very funny story in our family, which is that my mother was a youth group leader, right? And one day in this youth group class, this kid from Addis Ababa, you know, for Ethiopia, very dark-skinned, very African-looking, beautiful, you know, like crazy intelligent, kind of princely look that he has. And he has nowhere to live. He shows up at this, he's apparently had a foster home and they split up. It took him a long time to get over here, and they split up in the intervening time period from when they signed up. And then he showed up at this youth group, and so he came home to spend the night with us that night. And he stayed for, what, 5, 6 years? What, 6 years? 5 years before he graduated. He was in eighth grade, so he graduated.
And he lived with you?
Yeah, yeah. And that was a real learning lesson for me, because in my neighborhood, I'd walked home from school every day since I moved there. And I, you know, we'd lived there 5, 6 years already when he moved in. And he got stopped by the cops coming home. And I remember, I just couldn't believe it. Mm. You know, things I'd heard, you know, racism had just been this kind of fictitious. I mean, I knew about it. I studied Martin Luther King. My grandfather fought the Klan. But I didn't experience it.
And you never will. But
yeah.
But
I never will. No, good point. But that's, I mean, that's how Out to Lunch. But you can grow up that far. Most people's mom don't bring a kid from Addis Ababa into their house, right? And so that was the closest I can come, right? Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen once. You know, it happened at least 3 times. And he had, he's the most gentle person. I mean, you could possibly imagine, the least threatening person you could possibly imagine. He's so beautiful and kind. And that was a learning lesson for me. And you're right. I mean, that's what you even joked about when you first invited me on the show. I'm in no position to talk about this, except to say, every time the reason why I was so disappointed in Hillary for doing that basket of deplorables comment is that every time we act like somebody else isn't a human being, you know, mm-hmm. That everybody isn't coming at their life from their point of view with their love, the things that they love, you build up the wall, and the wall gets harder and more cemented. And every time we can talk, and anytime you can make fun of me and we can laugh, and every time that happens, the wall comes down a little bit. But if we don't talk about it, then neither one of us hear anything. And I'm not,
exactly.
And you don't, even though my position may be one of ignorance and stupidity, I don't know that until I can learn it, you know, and I need friends to let me see it, you know, and that's the value of you inviting me onto here and having a conversation, right? Because I'm not alone.
Actor Ethan Hawke speaking with Rebecca Carroll in the WNYC Green Space. There's a much longer version of that conversation online at thetakeaway.org. If you want to attend Rebecca's talk with actress Kristen Davis, you may know her as Charlotte in Sex and the City, go to WNYC.org/thegreenspace. That's G-R-E-E-N-E. The November 18th conversation will be about interracial adoption. But as with all these discussions, Rebecca reminds us, in the labyrinth of America's racial truths, they may start somewhere, but where they end up is anyone's guess. We love your comments. Find us on Facebook at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.